I was such a sweet boy they used to say. But a dead man tells no tales, and the wind doesn't give away your name.
Hi, this is Drew Dixon. I'm hanging out with my dude, Donald Jenkins, on Nashville Hits, collecting dust.
Hey, man.
What's going on, dude?
Drew Dixon. Thanks for coming in.
Of course, man. I still am kind of like awestruck by this environment, man. This is a really cool spot.
It is a cool spot, but really what that feeling is that you're having is that it's like 9 a.m. and
is that too?
And you may have slept, yeah, what, 2-3 hours last night?
Hours. Yeah, just a few.
Hey, you know, one of my biggest challenges was all this. Like, I love doing this in this little cool basement studio, but, yeah. And I know a lot of you guys, but like getting on your schedule,
it's tough, man.
Isn't almost impossible.
Yeah.
For one, y'all don't have a schedule
at all. No.
And very liquid. If you do, it's like the opposite of, I won't say normal people, but let's just say
normal people. We'll call it normal people. Yeah. The normal person does not have the ridiculous schedule that, most of, I want to say most of Nashville even, has. It's very strange. You know, there's some of us that are out till 4 a.m. on a Monday, not necessarily, you know, out in the bars and stuff like that, but just out either in the studio or a write or whatever. Right. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. You creative people. Yeah, we can't figure you.
we're a weird breed, man.
Well, you know, it's not just sleeping during the day or out at night, but it's like you said, it's like some of the biggest nights in Nashville will be like Monday and Tuesday.
Totally.
And yeah, it's like, it don't even make sense, yeah, to like the rest of the world
at all.
But
yeah,
it's just reality. So
it totally is. And that's kind of the cool part to me. Like the vibe of Nashville is so much like when people come in town on the weekends, it's like, hey man, what should we do? And I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know what to do on weekends because we don't go out, yeah, on weekends. Like, we go out on Monday, Tuesday, and Sunday and all that stuff. So,
well, you're wild. One of the stars on Tuesday night at a place called The South.
Woo.
Yeah. And you are kind of like one of the main attractions. I went there a couple Tuesdays and night because it, what you call it,
the lookout hour.
Mm-hmm. And it's Lisa Goh, mm-hmm, helps with that as right. well.
And John Gurney and myself, as well as the manager up there, Steven Teaster, and Chase Lauer as well, who is kind of like the godfather of the whole lookout movement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool, I mean, not that there aren't like other quote unquote writers rounds in Nashville, but this one's really kind of unique, I think.
Totally, man. That was sort of our goal from the beginning was that, you know, in Nashville, there's so many writers rounds and open mics and opportunities for people to get out and get in front of people. But a lot of them, you know, when you do them for year after year after year after year, the format of them gets so monotonous and just so repetitive that, you know, you get on stage with three other people who you may or may not know. You mm-hmm. each play one or two songs, then you get off, and then the next four people who you may, that's what it just. And so what we want to do is keep it fresh and throw one person up there at a time. So all of your focus is on them. That right. person is completely involved in the show. You know, they're not playing one song, they're having to wait 40 minutes until they get to play another song when everyone else is playing and all that stuff. So do that and kind of keeps it interesting for the performer as well as for the audience.
Yeah. And the other cool part, I don't know if y'all are still doing this show where, but there would always be like a theme.
The theme nights, man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you see, all ridiculous. Right, first of all, nobody can see you, but yeah. you're like 7'8". Yeah. I don't know.
I'm tall.
Like just a big dude, beard, yeah. like great yeah. hair, you know?
Oh, pshaw.
Yeah. Well, it's early. I know you, but you're yeah. having a great hair day. Great. And, but then it might be like a Taylor Swift theme oh, or yeah, maybe totally. Michael Jackson. Yeah, and so man. You're going to sing your originals, but the rule is you have to sing,
one cover
for the theme.
Yeah. 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 Based on the theme that was, so when we first started out, every week was a theme and, we had some amazing ones that you touched on a few, like the Michael Jackson one was actually one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift night was crazy. Bruno Mars night was wild. We had a Beyonce night, all that stuff, man. And it's cool because it's all acoustic and stuff like that. So when you take these songs that are not, you're not used to hearing so stripped down, as they are when we play them on Lookout yeah. Hour, it's really cool to see what people and, you know, people in Nashville are so talented, man. So they can take these songs that, you know, you take, Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars and you turn it into just one guitar and a guy on stage. It's crazy to see what people can do up there.
It is. And honestly, we people that are not in music, we're spoiled. I mean, we just are.
It is both ways, man. I mean, not even just people that are and aren't in music, man. It's
yeah.
this town totally, you're exactly right. It totally spoils you. Yeah.
Which is a good and bad thing. I've been to a many many showcases, friends of mine. And one of the things that really used to just get under my skin, because I know kind of how big a deal a showcase is anyway, mm-hmm. you know, you're sitting there and for people that are listening to this, that don't know exactly what a showcase is, it's typically where you're playing a 20-minute show, for a label or maybe publisher or something. Totally. It's like a live interview, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah, man.
And so, you know, you want to go and support your friends, but you know, Nashville sometimes has that way of everybody just kind of stands in the back.
And
it's really hard as a performer to like have a lot of energy on stage when nobody's like close to stage. No one's within
20 foot of the front. Yeah.
And I'm like, God, sometimes that really gets under my skin, especially when they're close friends and you just want to get up there and you want to, you know, help them do it as much. But that's how much talent's in Nashville. It's like people that come and visit, they're like, all right, Nashville has ruined music for me. When I go back to my hometown, I go, sorry.
Yeah.
I know.
And you're right. And those showcases, there's like two every single night of people you know. You know what I mean? Every single week, there's somebody playing somewhere for something. And you're right. It spoils you, but it's also really cool to be a part of that. You know?
Cool to be a part of. And what I've also noticed is that I think it really does raises everybody's game.
Oh, totally.
The people that are moving here are typically already talented. And I've heard this before. They're probably the best from where they came from.
Right.
That's usually who moves here, right?
And they're
almost used to being that person that's mm-hmm. the best. And then they come to Nashville and they go, oh crap.
It's the old big fish, small pond moves to the big pond and then realize they're not that much big of a fish anymore.
Which is not a negative because I think it takes that talent and goes, okay, now let's take it to the next level.
I hate to use that same, analogy again of the fish, but like you either sink or swim, you know,
you either
realize that, hey, I can hang with these cats or hey, maybe I should go back and realize what I need to work on, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And the reason why I'm doing this in general is because of a lot of, you know, over the years, some of my favorite songs that I love that I get to hear, have never been cut.
Right.
And if I did, I couldn't. If I tried to do an inventory, I promise you there are thousands.
Certainly.
That are literally sitting in a database or on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah.
And so this is really for the rest of the world to at least have the opportunity to say, hey, here's some of my favorites. And I'd love to, you know, let you in my world for at least a cool period. That was cool.
I think it's awesome, man.
It's been so much fun. Like obviously recording with so many talented people. And I literally have job security because I will never run out of songs.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I won't.
The market is rich right now, man. Isn't it? Yeah.
And they just keep getting better and really changing a little bit. Last night, some of the artists that were up there,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of made a mental note that it's like, it's, you know, and you can debate one way or the other on what's country and what's not.
Right.
Personally,
right.
I just think if you like the music, right, you know that you like the music.
Exactly.
But there was some important, really, maybe, I don't know if pop's the word, but there were just some great artists up there that had a very pop sound too. So
totally. Yeah.
And of course, you know, I interviewed Lisa Go. She's half LA, half, you know, Nashville.
Absolutely.
So those lines are coming together too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's cool, man. She's got a really unique sound and her vocals obviously are incredible, and her storytelling and her writing is so strong. But it's funny, like you put that combined with like we were saying, those country, you know, what is really country these days? But like you put that in a country writing session.
Yeah.
It's a really cool product. I've written with her a few times and she's really cool what kind of products come out of those.
So where are you from?
Originally from Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm moving to Nashville for music.
Yeah, it was. I originally went to the University of Georgia for college. So I crossed over the border there.
And there's something in the water in Georgia.
Dude, it's Athens is another scene. It's very similar to here and like Austin, Texas, man. It's just like, I chose the University of Georgia because of the music scene in Athens. And it's, you know, you have great bands. You had the B-52s, Widespread Panic, REM, Drive-By Truckers, and that, I mean, just historically those, and there's a ton now that are coming out, like Future Birds are out of there now. It's really, really cool scene to be a part of. And so when I got there, it was the same deal, you know, coming from high school and playing all these high school parties and thinking I was awesome and all that stuff. You get to,
I hated you guys in high school. Dude, couldn't get any girls to talk to me because y'all were there playing the guitar.
I was playing the guitar and I still couldn't get girls to talk to me. So I went to Athens, man, same deal. Like you get there and you realize, man, like you got a lot of work to do. You have these amazing musicians. The same thing in Athens, man, you can go any night of the week and see a great band play.
Yep.
And it's not going to be all the same genre. And that's kind of the cool part about Athens, is it's never the same genre. It's anything from indie rock to when I was there, the electronic scene wasn't really, you know, the DJ scene wasn't huge yet, but you had the early guys. I remember seeing Passion Pit in a club that was like maybe 150 people, that sort of thing. And that was kind of the beginning of realizing how you can kind of fuse music together. You don't have to stick to one genre line, in order to kind of express yourself musically. So that was cool. And then after that, moved up here in 2011, to do the same thing, just to keep kind of expanding what I was doing musically.
Nice. So, I'm going to have you set up maybe one of your favorite songs and sing it, but cool. Some fun facts that I know about you. So I've known you for a while. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we have, you know, hung out one-on-one, a lot. So I don't have a lot of inside stories, good. Which may be a good thing.
Good.
But
oh man,
no, these are all fun.
Okay, what's up?
We do have a lot of mutual friends.
How's that? Totally.
And if you don't know this, I didn't until last night, actually.
Oh, but gosh,
they were saying, first of all, like, you and Hot and Ready's.
Oh dude, Little Caesars. That is like,
and on top of Hot and Ready's, it was like the amount of food that you can consume.
Yeah.
It's like really impressive. Like, a lot of people say, I eat a lot, but people go, no, you don't understand.
Yeah. It's almost a problem. It's something I battle with like every day.
It's not a problem because you're not fat. If you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. That goes back to, you're saying I'm tall, I'm 6'7". And so it helps that how much I eat. I like, you know, I tell myself that like, I need that much food in order to survive. My caloric intake needs to be that high.
If it works for you, go with it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's been working so far. I do. I eat a good bit. And so the Hot and Ready thing started. I lived like two blocks from a Little Caesars. I was living down there. There's a neighborhood in Nashville called 12 South, and there's a Little Caesars a couple blocks away, man. And it was like the most convenient thing. I was like, you know, I tell myself, like, so I could either go to Kroger and get like healthy sushi or a salad. Like, that's like four blocks away. Then I've got a Little Caesars. That's like two blocks away. That's only $5.
I was about to say, not only is it closer, dude, it's faster and cheaper.
Yeah, dude, $5.46. I know the exact tax on it. And I would use like cash only. I didn't want to leave like a paper trail and all that stuff.
That's awesome. Well, they said Hot and Ready's last night, but they were like, I've sat down, you know, to dinner with Drew before, and I'll have one entree. Drew will have three. Yeah, and that is like his. But good for you. I think most of us would love. I can't. I will look at a Hot and Ready and gain 5 pounds. Not even eat it. I'll just look at it. So,
man, yeah, it's. I got it from my dad. My dad eats a ton, and then a lot of the families that I grew up with are all kind of bigger. One family I grew up with has three boys that are all above 6'8", and so they used to eat a good bit too. And I just picked it up somewhere along the line.
I promise I didn't. I don't think I'm short, but I looked around last night. You know, obviously you're a 6'7", but I was with, you know, Richard Casper. With
Brett. Tall.
I looked
he's
around.
Tall, yeah.
Every one of my friends are almost 7 foot tall, and I literally look like either I look like the run, or what I tell people is I'm in the middle and they're my bodyguards.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I like that one.
You actually have to get past Richard them Brett, before you get to me. So that's funny. Well, hey, Yeah, play me one of your favorites, or set me up with it. Tell me how you did it and play it.
Okay, so let's see. This first song is a song that I wrote about two summers ago, and a buddy of mine that actually I met in Athens had just recently moved to Nashville. He'd spent some time up in Boston at Berkeley, and was moving here to pursue music. And so the night he moved here, me and him were sitting getting a drink, and I immediately was like, hey man, like, I want to write with you tomorrow. I want to see what it's like fresh off the factory line of one of the best music schools there is, to see what your mind does, how it works. And he was already an amazing guitarist before then. So he's like, yeah, absolutely. So we get there the next day, and we're kind of sitting around, and we'd never written before and never even jammed before really. And he had this riff that he was playing, and I dug it. And then he threw this line out, and it was called Dead Man Tells No Tales. And we were kind of messing around with the riff a little bit. And he said that, and out of nowhere, as soon as he said it, out of my mouth comes, and the wind doesn't give away your name. And so we're like, oh dude.
Yeah.
All right. It's like dark and kind of murky. Let's go with it. Let's see what we got. So we wrote this song, and it was a cool process, kind of getting it from that write to where it is now, and as a released track. And the guys, actually kind of circling back to the Lookout thing, the guys on the Lookout movement put it out and helped me get it done. And I also did a music video for it. And
wow,
that sort of process opened a lot of doors for me, which has been really cool. So I'm gonna do that one first.
Awesome. Play it up.
Yeah, this is called Dead Man.
Outside of the city lights, where the room won't know to lock their doors at night, and the rooms around here just ain't the same. 'Cause a dead man tells no tales, and the wind doesn't give away your name. I wake up before the sun arrives, and I work all day at the local mine. I was such a sweet boy they used to say, but a dead man tells no tales, and the wind doesn't give away your name. Well, I dug through holes 6 feet in the ground, told on I said, baby, I'ma put you down. Nowhere to run to, no more in the right. The day I called the sheriff with my wife. That spot of mine, she was calling him daddy when I walked inside. When I stepped in the room, he said, brother, I can't explain, but a dead man tells no tales, and the wind doesn't give away your name. Well, I dug two holes 6 feet in the ground, and I fell on board before the sun came back out. You break the rules, you be with your life. And that's how it went on the day I caught the sheriff with my wife. His car into a bonfire, and the deputy never inquired. Now the silence I hear is the sweetest sound of day. 'Cause a dead man tells no tales, and the wind doesn't give away your name. 'Cause a dead man tells no tales, and the wind doesn't give away your name.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's such like a unique voice.
Thank you.
Like, I need video for this.
Imagine if Dirk Nowitzki was sitting here playing. If you don't know who Dirk Nowitzki is, he plays forward for the Dallas Mavericks. He's very tall. He has long blonde hair, usually shaggy blonde hair, and a big nose like me. That's
Hey, you've said that before. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, I grew up playing basketball. Every single basketball gym I've ever walked into since Dirk got drafted, I've been yelled Dirk at constantly.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Man, I love that song. I love Thank your voice. You. I know a lot of people, like I said, they love you. You really are kind of like, not that you're it, because there's a lot of talented artists that play on Tuesday nights, but I was there a couple of Tuesday nights. You weren't there, and it was like there was something missing. I was like, well, and literally somebody made the comment, oh, yeah, Drew's not here tonight.
Oh,
I was
like, man. That's Dang cool it. To hear. Thank you.
I yeah. So, man, I appreciate you coming in. Of this course, has been dude. Awesome. And yeah, man. I think you probably have, you know, more songs. So if you don't mind, maybe I bring you back in another time. We do Absolutely. It again.
Anytime.
Dude, Drew Dixon.
Woo.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks
See you, buddy.
Me, man, for sure.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.